Discipleship is really what our ultimate goal should always be, to come alongside of each other, bring each other up, and allow us to prepare ourselves for eternity, right? Outdoor ministry, we believe, can impact all aspects, whether it's somebody new that is coming together for the first time and really stripping down those barriers that we often put up to shield ourselves, provide transparency and vulnerability and so forth. We kind of categorize individuals in five different stages of their walk. So you're clueless, you're curious, you're committed, you're convicted, or you're discipling, right? And our desire is to help individuals move from wherever they are to the next level of maturity until they are actually discipling.
Welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men rediscover courageous masculinity. Pull up a chair as we gain strength from the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. These men have discovered that in a world of superficiality and isolation, we need authentic brotherhood to gain strength for the battles we face every day. Brought to you by the ministry of CLC, which challenges men to an uncommon pursuit of Christ, welcome to Empowered Manhood. All right, guys, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of discipleship? For some, it may be the Bible, the scriptures. For others, maybe it's a one-on-one mentoring relationship. And maybe for others, it could be small groups of people meeting together, studying the Word of God. There are several things that may come to mind when you think of discipleship, but one thing that may not come to mind is nature and outdoor adventure. Hi, my name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host, and I will be joined shortly by Amazon bestselling author Chris Bollinger. In this episode of the Empowered Manhood Podcast, we're talking to one of our most popular guests, Michael Battenberg, the founder of Back to Basics Outdoor Adventures. We talked to him back in episode 6, which was entitled Connecting with Our Greater Purpose Through Outdoor Adventure. And that has been by far one of our most popular episodes we've ever recorded. So we wanted to have Michael back to talk about the relationship between outdoor adventure and discipleship. Now, because Michael went into greater detail with his fence post story in episode 6, in this episode, he doesn't go into as much detail, kind of summarizes it. So if you would like to hear more detail of his story, which is definitely worth it, I encourage you to go back to episode 6 and listen to his fence post story. It is compelling. I just want to remind you quickly that the Empowered Manhood Podcast is a listener-supported podcast. And so if you'd like to join us, partner with us in this mission to disciple men all over the world, you can go to our website at clchq.org. Click on the blue donate button on the top right side of the homepage. It'll bring up a box. Click the drop-down menu, select National Fund, and then in the description, just put in there Empowered Manhood so that we know that you found out about us through this podcast. Lastly, as usual, please reach out to me. We would love to hear from you. You can email me at mhatch@clchq.org. It has been so fun getting to know some of you who've been listening to the show for a while, or even getting to work with some of you and helping you develop a men's discipleship strategy for your church. So feel free to reach out. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Here is our interview now with Michael Battenberg. Michael Battenberg, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. It's great to have you again, man.
It's great to be here, Michael. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Loved what you and Chris are doing, and it's always a pleasure to have the opportunity to share and to catch up. So thank you very much.
Yeah, no, definitely. We were just talking about this. This might be, well, folks, when they click on it, they'll know when I say this. It's either episode 59 or 60 that's going to be airing right now, which is hilarious because the first, I hope it's 60. I might need to make it 60 because the first time you were on was episode 6. So it would be just fun if you were on episode 6 and then episode 60. That would be amazing. Yeah. But you know, man, we're grateful to have you back again. Your episode back on episode 6 has been consistently one of the most downloaded episodes. So we struck at the heart there of something I think that our audience is it really wants to hear about and learn about. And I think is something that's when we talk about outdoor adventure, you know, especially for men, that is, I think it's a core of who we are. It comes from who we are. You know, I don't think that's a mistake. And I think men crave that. I think they crave the outdoors. I think it's been said that, you know, man was created in the wilderness by taking the dirt, right? That God took the dirt and created us. But then woman was created from man, from the rib. So there's from the very beginning, there's been a connection that man specifically, we have with the outdoors. And so yeah, as I thought about it, it didn't surprise me a whole lot that your episode was that popular. But now you've got a lot of new things to share with regard to your ministry, which I'm excited to hear more about. Before we do that, though, we want to jump into your fence post story. Folks can go back. You can hear the extended version on episode 6 if you'd like to go back to hear it. But give us a little bit of background, if you would, Michael, about you and your story.
Sure. Well, you know, as says in episode 6, as you mentioned, you know, was living a life of position and possession, raised by a corporate executive father, moved all around the country, 7 schools before I got out of high school. Really was not focused on much from a spiritual perspective, although I did have a, you know, spiritual leader for a mother, which for a fella is typically not an ideal, but nice to have someone praying for you and having an influence from a kingdom perspective. And, you know, and lived the first 45 years of my life, you know, following my father's life guidance, which was about position and possession and security and through financial means and so forth. And, you know, trying to climb the corporate ladder myself in my secular careers and ending up feeling very lost and unfulfilled and went into a bad state of mind and depression and suicidal tendencies and really hit rock bottom until, you know, the Lord spoke to me through a book called Jesus Calling, and it had a resonating effect on my heart and truly helped encourage me to make a restoration transformation from success to significance and where I decided to dedicate my life to helping others to see the bigger picture and inspire them to identify the gifts, talents, and blessings that they were each created so that they could serve God and serve others and live a joyful life that is focused on eternal value and not temporal value. So that's kind of the quick version of the backstory. And that resulted in us starting Back to Basics Adventures about 7 years ago. And we've done hundreds of trips since, and recently have been blessed with what we had been praying for after traveling around the globe, doing these trips, utilizing other facilities and outfitters and individuals' properties and so forth to execute these adventures. We prayed for a location that we would be able to call home that would also have a variety of available outdoor adventures at our disposal. And the Lord brought us to Jonesboro, Tennessee, which is where we've spent the last year developing a wonderful piece of property that we call Feather Ridge. And we're just finishing phase one right now of that development. And we're really excited. We've already hosted 2 events, and we're looking to see how we can expand that.
Where is Jonesboro in the state of Tennessee? I know parts of Tennessee, but I'm not familiar with that location.
Yeah, so Jonesboro, interesting, has a unique history. It is the first town that was settled here in the state of Tennessee. It's right outside of Johnson City, about 20 minutes outside of Johnson City, 20 minutes outside of Greenville, about 30 minutes outside of Bristol, which is why they call it the Tri-City areas. For those that are not as familiar with Eastern Tennessee, it's 1 hour north of Asheville, North Carolina. So we're kind of on the border of North Carolina and Virginia. I can literally get into, you know, three states within half an hour, which is kind of cool because just so much variety, both from a cultural perspective as well as from, you know, an outdoor adventure resources perspective. So we're super blessed.
Can you give us a feel for the terrain and what's around there? I know you've got rivers as well as mountains, but, you know, can you give us an idea of what's nearby?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we are in the Appalachian Mountains, the Smoky Mountains of eastern Tennessee. We've got the Nolichucky River, which is right across the street, which is a great whitewater as well as fishing river. We've got amazing fly fishing right next door at Clark's Creek, which is a Tennessee wildlife stocked fishing river. We've got Stills Falls right next door on our property, which is about 50 acres bordering the National Forest. We have mountain biking, hiking, horseback riding, camping. We have our stay facilities, which encompasses every option of comfort from, you know, tenting as our what we consider 1 to 2 star experience right now, up to our 3 to 4 star experience, which is our guest house, which is a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath with a loft guest cottage that's connected to our event pavilion that we can have weddings or celebrations, praise and worship, you name it. And we will in phase 3 be having private en suites, 5 of them for a little bit more luxury accommodations. So between, like I said, the camping, the cabins on the mountain, the tiny house, the guest cottage that I mentioned, and then the 4 to 5 star en suites, pretty much be able to accommodate any level of comfort that a guest may want.
So I had the privilege of visiting about a year ago, last January, and beautiful property. You were still building the cottage that you mentioned that's attached to the kind of event center. And so I'm curious on those other kind of, did you call them luxury cabins? Is that right? Is that what you just, okay. Where would those be built? Because I know where I was there's this kind of open area, almost like an open field where the main buildings are. And you're kind of wooded forest kind of surrounds it. I'm curious where those cabins would be built. Would they be built kind of secluded in the woods? Would they be built on the open area? I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have local knowledge because you actually hiked part of the property. So there will be 3 elevated stay cabins, 1 by what we call the Big Pond, which is kind of down lower elevation at what we call between level 1 and level 2, with a ton of wildlife game trails in that area. We've got deer and bear that we've caught on camera there. And we have that nice pond that we will be able to do baptisms in, as well as it's got a nice hill that adjoins it. So for praise and worship or, you know, providing a message, doing celebrations down there. Our second one will be where you hike to, which is the top. That is right where we border the National Forest at our highest elevation, about 2,300 feet of elevation. So we start at about 1,700 and we go up to 2,300. That'll be our largest elevated cabin. That'll have 3 king beds in it and a hunting cabin on top of it. So you'll be able to hunt from what we call the condo.
amazing.
The Big Pond will have 2 king beds in it, and it will be handicap accessible. We're building a ramp for those that have limitations as far as mobility is concerned, because we do tend to host a number of individuals with special needs. For instance, military, first responders is a big focus for us. In fact, within that realm, you know, we're really going after encouraging folks that are what we feel overworked and underprivileged, that that don't really have an opportunity to get away and recharge and renew and be inspired. So that incorporates pastors, first responders, nurses, caregivers, and just recently was brought up through our connection with C12 entrepreneurs, because you know these individuals run these corporate initiatives and don't really have that opportunity to unplug and relax and renew and refresh. And you know, one of the things that we really focus on is helping people not only identify the gifts, talents, and blessings that they were designed with to serve God and serve others, but also experience what we call the four S's, which is silence, Sabbath, scripture, and solitude, which, you know, I had to remind the folks from C12 that, you know, that is a biblical command that we are supposed to do. And if we're not practicing that, then, you know, we're not aligned in his word. The third cabin will be on what we call the West Ridge, which faces west, has an amazing view. You can actually see the river from there. And through guests that have come, and we're completely open to, you know, input and recommendations and suggestions from our guests that have come and visited so far, a wedding planner that we've partnered together with, because that's certainly not our forte, but we do have the space to be able to host it, has recommended a deck be built up on the highest point of elevation before you get into the National Forest, which has an amazing view. You can see into Virginia from it, and it's spectacular. So that's kind of where the cabins will be. And then we have also decided and invested in a mobile tiny house, which will have two king beds in it and be able to be moved throughout the property to be placed where guests may want to reside on their stay. So lots of variety and lots of opportunity to have a different experience each time you come.
Wow. That is, wait, first of all, two king beds in a tiny house? I don't know if that's a tiny house.
Yeah. Well, you know, as you may have seen when you had the opportunity to tour our cottage, we are very, very proficient in maximizing space.
Yes.
So yeah, that tiny house is actually 8.5 feet by 14 feet. And we're able to get the two king beds in there by lofting.
Okay. Okay. Yep. That makes sense. I got it now. All right. 8x14.
And incidentally, all of our accommodations are done in kings that split. So if couples are coming that want to share a bed, great. If not, we simply are able to split the bed and give an individual bed to folks that, you know, would prefer to sleep apart.
Now, if I were coming to Gatlinburg, I'd fly into Knoxville, but is Asheville the closest airport for folks that are coming in from out of the area?
That's a great question. Actually, Tri-Cities is the closest. That's going to be about 20 minutes. Let's say 30 minutes from the property. It is a smaller airport. A larger airport would then be Asheville, which is an hour away. Knoxville, which is an hour and a half away. So those are kind of the three closest airports that have a wider amount of service. Obviously, there's a lot of private airports that are around, but Tri-Cities actually has an executive airport that we have had guests who have their private planes have flown into. And then the next largest ones would be Greenville, South Carolina, Nashville, or Atlanta. And that would be almost 3 hours to Greenville, 4 hours to Nashville, and a little longer than that to Atlanta.
Okay. So that's awesome, man. Like, I'm so excited about how you're growing. And, but you also still, you've got that property now, which obviously is being built out and you're developing that. You would also take folks on trips all over the country, all over the world. So that hasn't stopped yet either, right?
Correct. Yeah. We are not changing our model as far as variety of adventures and activities is concerned. We're simply complementing it and hopefully encouraging people to consider our Tennessee location to come and stay for obvious reasons, with so much variety that's available there and the fact that we live there. But, you know, Colorado, Florida, our Israel trip, Africa, the different locations that we've done, we will continue to utilize and grow. I was just out in Colorado 3 weeks ago and finalized a partnership with a gentleman out there who has just an amazing story. It's a 100-year-old family home in a place called Cliffdale, which if you actually Google Cliffdale, it will pinpoint his home.
And
it sits on the North Fork of the South Platte River, which is very well known for fly fishing. It's steps away from this family home, and he's opened it up. He's been doing what he's called for the last few years, pastor cast, which is bringing out pastors and taking them fly fishing. And since it's conveniently located about an hour outside of Denver, they've been pretty much day trips. But I know I've convinced him that, you know, it's certainly a property that we would like to leverage and incorporate into back to basics location options. And so this is a wonderful historic experience that has just a beautiful setting, and we'll be providing not only the fly fishing, of course, but rock climbing, rappelling, and we have plans for long range shooting for over 1,000 yards. So that's exciting.
That's really cool. Okay, so let's. And we can keep coming back and forth to like your property as well and what's going on, the new, because if you go to your website, you've revamped it, new logo, love the idea of Feather Ridge. Is that right?
Feather Ridge, yes, is what we're so cool. What we're calling it. You know, it all stemmed through, you know, the angel that covered hands, feet, head and protection. Oh. and allowing individuals. In fact, I'll bring it up here. Unfortunately, I haven't committed it to memory. It's Psalms 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And you know, it just spoke to us when that verse came to us, and we said, this is definitely our tagline or our scripture verse for the property, because that is what we intend to inspire individual guests to be able to experience while they're there.
Okay. So then the other passage that comes to mind is, because I think Jesus recalls that when he says, as he's approaching Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, that I wanted to take you like chicks under my feathers, you know, and like, you know, corral you, and but you wouldn't have it, basically. I think of that as well. But I want to kind of transition a little bit to the significance of outdoor adventure for men. And because we talk a lot about connection, men are very isolated today and alone and struggling as a result of that in a myriad of different ways. But I really believe that connection, like, and we've talked about it, Chris and I have, connection with other men, obviously connection with God, but connection with other men is huge. But also there's this other piece of connecting with the outdoors that I think really resonates, like I said at the beginning of the show, with a man's heart. And I felt it even just going for a walk at the park with my wife, and I will just peering into the forest. I mean, it calls to me. It's amazing. It really does. And maybe it's because I grew up, my dad owned some property too, and we would go camping all the time in the middle of nowhere. And I used to love it. So maybe it's part of that too, because I know not every guy feels that affinity, if you will, toward it. But I think most guys, it's built in. So speak to us a little bit about that aspect, about how specifically for men, that connection, that you've seen it exhibited as you lead these trips.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, everything started in the garden, right? So it started in the wilderness, and Jesus did 70% of his teaching in the wilderness. He, you know, on regular occasions, you know, be still, hear my voice. And there's no place better to do that than in the wilderness. And, you know, and when people want to experience God, you know, where is a better place to experience it than within his creation? So it's really just, it's recognizing that the venue is there and has always been there. It's us taking the time, which again goes back to what I mentioned before, as far as scripture, Sabbath, solitude, and silence. You know, he told us once a week, we need to do that at minimum, right? So I believe it does have an impact on people. And for those that haven't yet got an opportunity to experience it, I think that by introducing them to an outdoor experience can be very, very inspiring because of the opportunity to be in tune with the Creator in creation, and to be connected closer together in small group settings. You know, I tell everybody the magic really happens not on the adventures that we do, although they're wonderful. We have a great time, and it's not the food, although we pride ourselves in exceeding expectations when it comes to you know, our culinary service. But really the magic happens when you've got individuals that are in a comfortable environment, that they come around one another, they are intentional, transparent, uplifting, and vulnerable to be able to share some of the similar struggles and so forth that we're going through and come alongside of each other as Jesus had instructed us to do, and how he formed, you know, his initial band of 12. And so giving people that venue experience to have that type of closeness and camaraderie is not as typical with males as it is with females. Females just tend to be more receptive to that. But I think that when you get guys in that type of situation, some really amazing things can happen. And that's really what we strive to achieve, is that enlightenment and that inspiration that can happen when you give individuals an opportunity to really take a step back and focus on something greater.
One thing I forget is when you look at stories of people in the Bible, whether it's New Testament or Old Testament, they spend a lot of time outdoors. I mean,
right.
Think about David as a shepherd boy. I mean, he's outside 99.9% of the time. You know, we just don't live that way. So I think that, you know, this is an opportunity. I was going to ask you, do you confiscate people's phones when they come to Feather Ridge? Because it'd be great if, you know, we need to unplug. We talk a lot about unplugging, but I just think we need to get out of our own way and just get, you know, back to basics. And we can discover so much about ourselves and about God when we do that, but we do it so rarely.
Absolutely. And yeah, confiscation is probably not the term we'd like to use, but we highly encourage you to relinquish the technical tools and diversions and distractions as much as possible, because how can you have the experience that you've intended to have when you're still using the crutch and the diversion and the distraction that created a lot of these issues that, you know, that we experience when it comes to angst and feeling pressure and pushed and rushed and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, the technology has been a blessing and a curse. We tend to see people utilizing it much less when they're there, because a lot of times we use it as a crutch for something to do. And we often keep you so engaged with things to do that there isn't a desire to, you know, go down and start scrolling on your phone.
Yeah. So I've heard this said many times. I think it's so true that we just don't know what it's like to be bored anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's always something that is demanding our attention. I mean, and that's a social media thing. Other stuff on the internet, what they're doing is they're competing for our attention, and our attention becomes the most valuable commodity for people who want to sell us things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm guilty of it as well. I had said to my mentor one time, I have a really hard time hearing God. And his response was very pointed. I may have said this before. He said, well, are you listening? And I said, well, you know, maybe that's something I need to work on, because I do tend to talk a lot. But getting out and away from distractions is probably the best environment that you can be in if you truly want to hear from the Lord and allow for the Holy Spirit to speak to you and inspire you. And so, again, we want to do everything we can to make that environment available and give that opportunity to guests.
Yeah. And real quick, let me just encourage you guys who are listening to, and I'm going to ask you to speak to the guy who, in just a moment here, who's not as excited about being in the woods, because there are those guys. But I know when I get into nature, my rhythm slows. I get into more rhythm with nature. In nature, it's a slower rhythm. There is a rest you experience as a result of it by getting out of this fast-paced, nonstop, driven kind of drumbeat of our world that we're a part of. And it is interesting to be in nature and then this to be kind of gently pulled into this gentler, slower rhythm, where suddenly you can hear things that you didn't hear before, whether it be in nature or from God.
Sure. To address those individuals that may be hesitant to, you know, to go outdoors, and typically it's just because of the fact that they're unfamiliar with it, right? Once we help to get them familiarized with it, which is what a lot of the adventure activities draw on, you know, they may not necessarily be comfortable being out in the wilderness, but they really be interested in whitewater rafting or, you know, driving four-wheelers or, you know, or doing something of that nature. And that's kind of the hook to get them to come to the environment and experience it.
And the whitewater rafting is great. I've been on that river. It is tremendous. Yeah. I'd go just for that.
Absolutely. No. And there's just so much variety of activities that can inspire. But I mean, we even do things like cooking events. I mean, we've now partnered with the former executive chef of SeaWorld, who is just an amazing chef. And for those that, you know, just want to come and have an amazing meal and be able to experience some of the floral and fauna that's growing on our mountain. You know, we've got all kinds of, you know, morel mushrooms and just a variety of different plants and so forth that are available that we're incorporating into culinary experiences. So, I mean, there's just, there's a lot to be able to do without having to think that, you know, oh, I got to go hunting or I've got to go hiking or I've got to go camping that may not appeal to people, right? But maybe, you know, a cooking experience or, you know, something foraging, you know, for morel mushrooms or ginseng or, you know, something like that would appeal. So
that's a great point. So you're saying there are ways that someone like that can kind of ease into the experience, basically, is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, you know, we were very mindful when we designed our stay accommodations to be able to make sure that, I mean, we set the bar in saying we need to make sure that every stay option would be comfortable for a female. Because if we can cater to a female that would be feel safe and comfortable, then we kind of have it licked, right? And that doesn't become part of the negative aspect of what people often think of when they think of being in the outdoors, right? Mm-hmm. They think, oh, it's going to, you know, my bed is going to be uncomfortable and there's going to be bugs and I'm not going to be able to take a hot shower and I'm not going to have toilet facilities and so forth. That's just not the case unless you want it. I mean, we have it available. If you want to rough it, we certainly are happy to do that. And, you know, incidentally, we just met with the director of Tennessee Tourism who came out for a visit the other day and was just blown away. You know, she was saying, you guys have something that is unique. Nobody else has something like that. And by the way, you know, we've got the Appalachian Trail Hikers convention that's going on here every year, and they're looking for a place like this to stay. Would you be interested in hosting them? And we were like, absolutely. And she says, well, you know, a lot of them like to rough it. And we're like, great. You know, we're happy to accommodate. So
how far are you from the trail, by the way?
That's an excellent question. I love that question because of the answer. We are 20 minutes away from one of the prettiest places on the Appalachian Trail called the Beauty Spot, which you can actually drive to. So very uniquely, we can get you on the AT as a novice hiker, take you to the top of the Beauty Spot, which you can Google it. It's wonderful. And it's a 20-minute drive and you're on the trail and can start hiking from there. And it is.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Another wonderful gift of God bringing us to this location, just so much available in such a short distance.
So as you were talking to those guys who would like to ease into things, and you were talking about all the different aspects of nature, like the mushrooms, for example, my point is what you get when you get into nature is there is so much more than you anticipate, whether it be the animals, the foliage, the sky in some ways, like all sorts of different, the trees, like there's so much in nature that you don't realize is. There's a documentary I watched called The Fantastic Fungi. I don't know if you've ever seen it. You saw it?
Good. Yeah.
Dude, it is unbelievable. So real quick, just because I think this is amazing. The fungi that we see on trees or growing out of the ground, that's like the tip of the iceberg. they have a whole network that the fungus do that are connected underground, like the internet network. And not only that, but the trees will use that network to communicate to each other. It's unbelievable. So there's stuff like that and other things in nature that you just don't, until you spend time there, you know, solitude, really getting in tune with the rhythm of nature and seeing and listening, you'll be blown away by the majesty of God and the detail of his creation, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say for, you know, for the person that's apprehensive to come out because they're not an outdoor person and none of these things or a few of these things seem to appeal to them, just come out and spend the night. And the quiet, the serenity, the celestial show that you get at night, where we have very little light pollution, is truly awe-inspiring. Just relocating from a house we were renting 5 miles down the road to coming to the property and staying on the property was like night and day as far as the serenity and the amount of activity from a nature perspective with, you know, the amount of animals we have that are calling our property home or at least visiting on a regular basis. I mean, we have 7 game cameras out right now and literally we are popping pictures of bear, deer, turkey, fox, you name it, multiple times a day, every day. It's something amazing. And we're super blessed to have the opportunity to make this available to, you know, the local and community abroad.
You mentioned the night sky and that would be enough for me. I mean, I've lived in suburban and metropolitan areas most of my adult life, and I'm just so tired of not being able to see the stars. You know, as a kid, I wanted to be an astronomer. And I remember when I was late teens, my parents moved to Western Kentucky, and my dad and I sat out in the lawn chairs one night and watched a meteor shower. That's probably the last time I really had a good look at the nighttime sky. You know, I just don't see it. I can't see anything near the horizon. So yeah, that alone would be enough for me just to, you know, spend a couple hours outside at night and look up, which again, in biblical times, I mean, that's how they knew where they were going. I mean, they did navigation and everything with the stars and we can't see them. We can't see them, you know, in our typical night sky.
Yeah. And we actually have a program that incorporates the constellations and how it relates biblically and the, you know, and the seasons. I mean, it's interesting to see how it all correlates. Like Michael was saying, you know, in regards to the network, another interesting fact is, you know, with redwoods, which we don't have redwoods here, but redwoods actually, you know, a huge growing tree, but a very, very shallow root system because they actually entwine with each other as a community to make that stability and base so strong. So obviously God has purpose in everything that he's created for us. And we just have to scratch the surface a little bit to understand, you know, what it's all about. And, you know, as far as celestial experience is concerned, looking up at the sky, you know, on a low light pollution venue is amazing. But if you really want to take that up a notch, get a nice set of binoculars and lay down on your back and look and allow for the light to collect and look into deeper space. And it is just absolutely, well, it's humbling first because you see how vast and how expansive the universe is and how infinitesimal we are, but how significant we are because he chose to create his work of us and all that is here on earth. You know, right here where there's the universe is just so vast. And, you know, you just don't realize how many stars there are until, you know, you just take up a few minutes to allow your eyes to adjust and look up and see that thousands and millions and billions of creation that he's put out there. It's just, it's humbling.
I remember going to the DC Observatory when I lived in Northern Virginia. This is back in the late 90s. And I was so excited because I think it was the original observatory in the U.S. And at the time, they probably built it, you know, way out in the sticks. But now it's completely surrounded by cities. So you literally couldn't see anything. I mean, they had a telescope up there and, okay, take a look at Mars. And it's like, okay, well, I can kind of see it, you know, just because there was so much light pollution. And that was, you know, that was 25 years ago. So, yeah, there's nothing like being out in the wilderness.
And I had never thought, Michael, thank you for that. tidbit there. I'd never thought about just grabbing binoculars and how that, if you're in a low light pollution area, that you can actually let your eyes adjust and you can see more as more light comes in. That never occurred to me. And you really just motivated me to go out and invest in some nice binoculars. That would be a really cool experience.
And I'll throw an endorsement out there. And we're hoping to partner with them officially, but Vortex makes some great, great glass for very affordable, and they stand behind it significantly. So, obviously there's a lot of great binocular manufacturers out there, but I've found that the bang for the buck, Vortex, and they are a wonderful organization. Their culture and their company, it really gets it, right? It's not just about bottom line, but it's about community and it's about, coming together for a common goal. And do a little research on them. They're really something.
That's awesome. We'll make sure that's in the show notes for folks to be able to check out and easily access. So with the last 10 or 15 minutes, I wanted to kind of transition in a sense. We're still on the same subject, but one of the things that I love about you, Michael, is that you are a discipleship guy, that your heart resonates with CLC and our mission of discipleship. And we were on the phone talking about this a little bit the other day, but the idea of not just, so when you think of discipleship, we look at it, and I think it sounds like you and I were talking about, you do too, as a long-term investment. Discipleship is relational in nature and should involve a fair amount of time walking in shoulder to shoulder with someone. And of course, experiences like what you provide just are incredible moments for people along that journey of discipleship. And obviously in CLC, our programs, we don't have any of them that are less than, 36 weeks, I guess. So about 9 months. And so I'm curious, lend us some of your thoughts and insights of how you see outdoor adventure and what you do, how it works so well with discipleship. And I'm thinking about some of the guys who are leading CLC groups right now around the country who, they might be in a 2-year, experience with our all-in curriculum, for example, or maybe they are in the 36-week. But how do you see your program kind of coming alongside something like that, whether it's CLC or something else, to help supplement that discipleship journey?
Yeah, well, obviously, discipleship is the ultimate directive that we've been given. I mean, so important, I tattooed it on my arm, right? yeah. If you want to summarize the Bible, I can summarize it in Matthew 28 and Matthew 22. If our ultimate goal is not having a Barnabas that's helping lead us and having a Timothy that we're leading, then we're missing it. Because, the only thing that God did when he created us that he didn't say he did well was he created Adam alone. And he said that it's not good for him to be alone. So discipleship is really what our ultimate goal should always be, to come alongside of each other, bring each other up, and allow us to prepare ourselves for eternity, right? Outdoor ministry, we believe, can impact all aspects, whether it's somebody new that is coming together for the first time and really stripping down those barriers that we often put up to shield ourselves, provide transparency and vulnerability and so forth. We kind of categorize individuals in five different stages of their walk. So you're clueless, you're curious, you're committed, you're convicted, or you're discipling, right? And our desire is to help individuals move from wherever they are to the next level of maturity until they are actually discipling. And so, whether it's, for instance, the Navigators, who is a very, very mature organization of Christians who we've hosted their leadership to come together and allow them to expand on their goals and their directives of discipleship as well, to the non-believer that, just was enticed or incentivized with the idea of going hunting or fishing or camping or white water rafting and seeing what it looks like to be around individuals that truly care about them and want to come alongside of them and lift them up to encourage them to take that step through the levels of maturity. We feel that, there is few opportunities that will produce as many positive results as what we can offer to wherever you are by getting you out, getting you together, allowing you to come alongside of each other and to lift each other up and to grow. So, I mean, that's at the end of the day, what we believe it's all about. And, you know, you cannot do that without spending time together, right? Discipleship only works if you've decided to make a commitment of time and truly getting to come alongside of each other on a personal and intimate level. It's the reason that, you know, when Jesus chose the 12, they actually broke up in groups of three, right? To have a closer knit. I mean, obviously they all work together as one, but each of the 12 broke up into smaller groups to be able to increase that amount of impact that took place. And we believe that, you know, it's very difficult to do that in a setting that does not eliminate or reduce distractions and other influences that take away from that building of a tight relationship together and a common goal to, again, come alongside and be led and to lead another.
I really appreciate that
discussion
of discipleship because, yeah, it's just, it's the perfect setting. It's the perfect setting to get people away from the noisy environment in which they operate and give them some time, like you said, to rest and then to reestablish that common purpose and then to move forward. I guess one thing I would ask is, okay, so, I mean, you know, we've all talked about the mountaintop experience and certainly you're going to have one when you get away for a couple of days or a week and have this outdoor adventure, this experience. How do you carry that with you when you go back to the mundane and noisy real world in which you spend the other 51 weeks of your year? What are some great practices question. That you found that people can adopt to really get that benefit and sustain it for a long time?
Sure. So a couple of suggestions, obviously, you know, biblical taking a Sabbath once a week at minimum, right? I mean, we need to be practicing that whether we're, you know, away on an adventure or whether we're home to allow yourself to recharge. What we just talked about as far as discipleship, you know, having that, what we call that 2 a.m. contact that, you know, if something happens at 2 a.m., you have somebody that you can reach out to that you know is going to answer the phone and be there for you, right? I think that making sure that your intentionality of life transformation is practiced every day and not just, you know, an event that takes place. I mean, we've kind of made a goal of ours to inspire people so that when they leave, they're not just leaving with pictures and memories, but they're leaving with a plan to be able to execute a decision that has been focused on something greater, significance, and life transformation. And I think that the way to continue encouraging that is on a regular basis, practicing it, you know, whether it's coming back on a regular basis for these type of experiences or, you know, getting together, you know, shoot, you know, people ask me, what's my favorite discipleship program? And there's a lot of great ones out there. And obviously CLC has a number of them, but it starts with go have coffee together, right? Go spend time together and not from an esoteric or a surface level, but, you know, truly make a commitment to engage with one another and be vulnerable. And, you know, that's tough sometimes. And so these type of tools and experiences help to accelerate that, I think.
Yeah. I think a getaway can help retrain you as well. I think back to when I was in Northern Virginia, when my girls were really small. And I'd work 10-hour day at the office, then come home and give my wife a break and typically take them for a walk. And, you know, we lived in a townhouse right near a golf course. And we had been there for 3-4 years before the first girl came along. I never went anywhere near the golf course because I didn't golf. And, you know, so it was right there practically in my backyard and I never set foot on it. And when I started taking the girls for walks, I had to slow down because they're very small and started noticing things. And I think about the song about the inchworm because, you know, I never noticed there were marigolds there. And so with my daughters in tow, we would stop and smell the marigolds and take that time. And then we got on the 11th fairway and there was a wild blackberry bush, which we discovered in the spring when the blackberries were getting ripe. I never would have seen this stuff if I hadn't had my little girls with me. So, you know, I wish I could say that it lasted and I've forever been willing to slow down and do those types of things. But I think it helped retrain me just to shut things off and to go out and just enjoy what was nearby and try to see things from their level. So I think that, you know, one goal I would have in going on a getaway would be just to retrain my brain so that when I come back to the real world, I would not go back into my same patterns. But I'd take the time to meet with somebody and really listen to him, or take the time to go outside and just enjoy what God's provided. You know, just take that time, which I so rarely do.
Yeah, a great book out there. There's also vignettes of it on YouVersion Bible app called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And it's a wonderful, inspiring book that I have to read and reread on a regular basis, because, again, you need to make sure that you get into that pattern of consciously making it a priority, right? If you want me to tell you what you value in priority, show me your calendar and your bank account. And so, I think that a lot of times it means consciously scheduling for time that is focused on something eternal and not just the to-dos of, you know, the secular lives that we, you know, have to be engaged in, you know, with society.
Oh, Michael, it's so good to be with you, brother.
I love you, man.
I smell the pine just being near you.
More poplar than pine, but okay. I understand.
Yeah. or it smells like a campfire. It smells like a bonfire near you.
Amen. Amen. We love you guys and we'd love to have you out. And, you're always welcome. Your listeners, you know, if they're interested in putting something together, you know, first go to, you know, www.back2basicsadventures.com. Our offering is not like others. There isn't, you know, a check the box. We build the box for you. So it takes a little bit of more time to talk to us and share with us and dream with us so that we can create that experience for you. But it's going to be unique and it's going to be specific for you. And it's going to hopefully provide a much more significant outcome than, you know, a travel agent or an organization that just, you know, click, 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 click. And now you're just one of the many of our program consumers. I mean, we want to design something that's going to be inspiring for you. So, you know, to reach out to us and let us know how we can do that. And if we can't do that, we will do our best to find an organization that can. I mean, it's not all about us. We are not for everybody, but we, you know, and as good stewards, it's our job that if you've taken the time to invest and speak with us, for us to help you find what you're looking for. And that's why we love our partnerships with organizations like CLC that has, you know, wonderful material that we 100% stand behind, because it all follows our ultimate mutual goal, which is making disciples and growing our relationships together so that we can hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's who's here because of you, and here's who's coming because of you. We will all be together in eternity, which is a lot longer than the 80 some years that we, you know, we may have the privilege to be here on earth.
Amen. Amen. All right, Michael, let me pray for you as we head out here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Michael. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for the connection that you instilled in him with nature. Thank you for his background, Lord, his story of coming from looking for power and possession and prestige, Lord, to now you being his focus and his priority, that relationship with you, and then helping others achieve that same connection with you, Father, through it outdoor adventure. Lord, we know that that we as men are connected because of how you created us to your creation in very unique ways, Lord. And so I pray that you'd bless Mike and his family and their ministry, that you'd protect them from the enemy, that you would go ahead of all those folks who are going to be coming through this property and in future ministry endeavors that Mike has all around the country, God. I pray, Father, you'd go ahead of him and prepare the way in the hearts of the people who will experience his influence, Father. Pray again that you just work through him by virtue of your Holy Spirit in the lives of so many. And we're grateful for him and his ministry in this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Mike. Bless you, Chris. Thank
you. Love you, brother. So much.
Let me know how we can serve you. We're here for you, and we would love to do whatever we can to help build the kingdom together.
Amen.